Welcome to the Success IQ podcast, the show for entrepreneurs who want to create and live an exceptional life. I'm your host, Jeff Nicholson, and this is episode 110. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I truly hope you are having an amazing week. So we have got a great guest this week, Sean Custo. Now, Sean is the founder of premier app marketing agency, Preapps. Sean has helped thousands of apps reach millions of downloads and is also the creator of the App Marketing Academy, the world's best online mobile app marketing program. Today, Sean is one of the most in-demand experts on mobile apps, marketing, and growth. His reach has expanded to 80 countries across 24 different app categories where his clients create, launch, and market their apps. Taking each app from zero to millions of downloads and sales, he's worked with million-dollar apps like Flip, Overkill 2, and Gadget Flow, and even billion-dollar apps like Cheetah's Mobile's Security Master, with over 550 million downloads. It's quite astounding, that number. Sean has been a guest for Microsoft and Samsung, and has also appeared in Washington Post, US Today, the Boston Globe, Entrepreneur Magazine, and the Associated Press. He's here today to share his tips and techniques to help you reach millions of people with your mobile app. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
So, Sean, before we start really diving into the topic we're going to talk about today, could you give us a backstory of what's brought you to this point today?
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of like my entrepreneurial history, or do you mean where I am right now?
Yeah, the entrepreneurial history.
Oh, okay, wonderful. Yeah, I mean, I've been an entrepreneur, you know, one of those entrepreneurs ever since, you know, pretty much day one of life. You know, I've always kind of learned life and see the world in a unique perspective. I think that is in due part because my father was also an entrepreneur. And so I knew early on that I'd want to be my own, you know, boss, and to be able to really turn, you know, my thoughts and dreams into a reality. And so I knew early on that I didn't want, you know, 9 to 5 and the such. And so, you know, ever since things like having lemonade stands, selling, you know, baseball cards on the streets, and selling candy at school, all the way to, you know, high school, I ended up going into more tech. I saw, obviously, Facebook was blowing up at that time. And so I knew I wanted to maybe jump on the coattails of that. And so I created my own social network in high school called Friend City. And then worked on another few projects, and I just kind of had an ADD, if you may, when it comes to, you know, entrepreneurship, and I just want to be a part of everything. And so I started a lot of different companies early on, and then in high school, you know, I progressed into college. I went to school for entrepreneurship, and started about 6 different apps, mobile apps, and a few different websites. And then there was really in that point of my life that I really started to have this, you know, huge passion and drive towards the mobile app industry. The mobile app industry is just so easy to get into, and it's the fastest and easiest and most effective way to be able to turn your ideas into reality. You know, and in Silicon Valley, they used to say, you know, mobile first, you know, before creating a website. Now it's really almost mobile only in today's society. And so, you know, I really set out on a journey to uncover the proven, you know, process and systems and frameworks of how to create, you know, a very successful multi-million dollar app. And over, you know, about an 8-year time period, I studied and interviewed dozens of the top, you know, million-dollar and billion-dollar app makers out there. I read all the top, you know, app marketing books and took the best courses. I really started to break things down and study the essential traits that led to these people's success. You know, these traits which generated millions of downloads and drove significant sales, you know, for others in the marketplace. And what I realized is that there are many similarities, you know, in the strategies of the apps that reach profound growth and enormous success. And I started to combine the proven systems and processes that I learned to be able to create, you know, proven techniques such as, you know, our skyrocket downloads method, the viral app blueprint, the 10x revenue model, to be able to help really any app achieve explosive growth and success. And so when I started using these systems and strategies, you know, on my own apps, as well as working for clients, you know, our results just went through the roof. And I had to know that these systems would really work for any app. So I just continued to incorporate them repeatedly with other apps. And we started building a very successful mobile app marketing agency. And so a company called Preapps, which is now the number one app marketing agency in the US, having served over 3,000 apps over the past 8 years now, reach over half a billion in downloads across 80 different countries and 24 different categories, and really empowering others to be able to build and launch successful apps and to be able to get them to wherever they're looking to achieve, whether that's just launching successfully on the App Store and Google Play, and then going from zero to 100,000 downloads, 100,000 to a million, a million to 10 million, even 10 million to 100 million, and really establish themselves as market leaders in their category. And and so just been progressing to where we are today. And I've put everything that I've learned over the past 8.5 years now into a book called App Secrets, How to Create a $1 Million App, which is now a bestseller on Amazon, to be able to really provide that value, so to help others that are looking to be able to enter the space and really set them up for success, so they don't have to avoid the pitfalls that most face when launching a successful app.
Wow. Well, okay. So I want to go into more detail about the App Secrets book. And before, you talked about taking the time and interviewing and speaking to people who had been successful and achieved, and finding the patterns that they were doing. How valuable do you think that was in able for you to develop yourself and to look at those products that are successful?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when it comes to success in general, I mean, there's the age-old saying, is that success leaves clues. You don't need to reinvent the wheel, just do what works, right? And so what I began to realize is, I originally was just trying to get as much information as possible. I mean, you can get just lost by doing Google searches, right? And you can get all, 1,000 different results and 1,000 different strategies. The problem is, some are more impactful and powerful than others. And so it's just incredibly valuable to be able to connect with these very successful entrepreneurs and app creators, and to understand the similarities that a lot of them had shared in terms of how to get to where they are today. And what also is interesting is, sometimes we kind of idolize these people. I mean, we think of these, app creators and app celebrities as just that, celebrities. And the reality is, they're just like you and I, right? And they have the same problems, they have the same struggles. They put their pants on one leg at a time. And so what I began to realize is, they were in the same position as I was early on, as well as a lot of our clients. And to be able to support them, we're able to kind of guide them in the right strategy techniques that others incorporate to be able to reach the results they're looking to achieve.
And were they, and because this is always the thing that fascinates me, it's one of the reasons why I did the podcast, because it's my opportunity to speak to successful people like yourself to find out what they do and their strategies and stuff, because I'm fascinated by that. But did you find the people who you were speaking to were open to you having a conversation, or was there a specific format that you did in order to open the door to get a chance to speak to them?
Well, when it comes to speaking with successful people, one common thing that I'm sure you've also began to realize is there's an innate passion that people have to help others, succeed and avoid the problems that they faced as well. And so the more successful people are, I believe the more that they're interested in kind of giving back and helping others, achieve that similar success. Because I really don't believe that there's anything such as a self-made millionaire or a self-made whatever. It's just that person had support, right? There are other people that taught them and gave them resources and knowledge and advice to be able to get them to where they are today. And so we're all in this together. And anything, one thing I can say is that anyone can hit it big in this industry, and that app success is in fact repeatable. There is a formula to do this and a proven path to success that most successful apps in the market incorporate that very few know about, and strategies that others can use to get the same results. And so it's beneficial for other successful people to be able to share the right techniques to be able to help others succeed.
And I suppose as well, as it's something that you were proactive. You took the steps to reach out and speak to them, because there's many people I speak to, and I'm sure you've come across them as well. They would like to do X, but I couldn't possibly speak to so-and-so, or I couldn't send them an email to do that, because I'd be
interrupting them, or they're going to say no. And it's just a matter of sometimes just grabbing the bull by the horns and taking action on it.
Exactly. Exactly. I completely agree.
Cool. Okay. So let's have a little bit of a delve into app secrets. So for someone who is thinking about creating an app, what sort of guidance can you give them, or strategies can you give them to get started and to move that through?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, as I outline in the book, you know, it's called App Secrets, How to Create a $1 Million App. And so what we found, again, is all the most successful apps, including, let's say, you know, Candy Crush, Instagram, Airbnb, and Snapchat, incorporate the same fundamental traits. These elements are really made easy to understand in this book that we call App Secrets. You'll drive breakout success and achieve explosive growth. And so in this book, I outline, you know, how you can incorporate the same strategies that today's fastest growing apps use to be able to, you know, create a very successful $1 million or even $1 billion app. And so in this book, I outline and break it down into seven pillars, really seven major pillars from a high level, and then drill deeper that will attribute to, you know, reaching that type of success that you're looking to achieve with your app.
Okay. So can you share a couple of them in what you would say would be the best place to start if someone was starting out?
Of course. So I can just go through briefly if you'd like, you know, each of the seven and kind of go into more detail later on if you'd like. But I can just kind of break down the seven and then kind of go into them from there. And so the first pillar is really that having that grand vision. And what I mean by that is really beginning with the end in mind. Most people, you know, work from where they are now to where they want to be. And this is really backwards strategy. You have to begin as though you already have the end in mind, as if you already accomplished and done what you're looking to achieve, and then work backwards, not forwards, to create the roadmap to get there. And because at some point, you know, you'll go off track. It is inevitable, whether it's developing the wrong features or running out of money, having the wrong team, the wrong product market fit. You'll steer off track, and it will be your grand vision for the future that puts you back into the path that you're looking to attribute to. And so, you know, we always really emphasize and make clear, you know, to those that we work with, is really have to understand, what is your goal? What is your outcome? You know, what are you ultimately looking to achieve with this app? Because, you know, if you're just looking to launch an app and then have no plan of action or outcome of what you're looking to do with that app, then you're going to end up wasting a lot of time and money, and you're going to be running in circles. And so the goal is to be able to really understand, you know, what is that grand vision for yourself and for, you know, this app business. And then to be able to work backwards to get there, because when you visualize, you know, you materialize. And, you know, as you've heard, you know, a goal without a plan is just a wish, right? And so you have to be able to have that end of goal and then be able to create the plan to be able to get there, you know, as quickly as possible and really take massive action along the way. Pillar number two that we emphasize in this book is really all about innovation, creating something that people simply cannot live without. Being able to have something that's really unique in the marketplace and really solving, you know, if you're looking to create a $1 billion app, you need to solve a $1 billion problem. And so the first step to that is really understanding, you know, what do people want and versus, you know, what do they need? And to be able to create, you know, the right product to be able to solve that need of the marketplace. And that this chapter is really all about innovation.
Okay. Number three
is all about growth marketing. Growth marketing in terms of the right strategies needed to be able to launch, you know, a successful app. And it's in that we really go through the skyrocket downloads method. And it's about 10 steps in order to be able to, you know, reach the type of growth that you're looking to achieve. Because, you know, the biggest mistake that apps make when trying to grow is really failing to pursue traction while developing their app. Many developers think that, you know, if you just build a great app, users will beat a path to their door to get it. And so that's really not the case. I mean, there's over 15,000 new apps introduced to the marketplace every single week now, 15,000. And of those 15,000, 95% of them fail to be discovered. 95% of them fail to get traction and downloads, only get about 5 downloads upon launch, which means that if you don't incorporate the right strategies, there's a 95% chance that your app is going to kind of be failed to be discovered. You know, you put all this time, money, and energy into it, and people won't even know your app exists. That's kind of the worst nightmare for most apps. And so we really try and emphasize the importance of, you know, incorporating the right marketing strategies and growth into the app early on and not waiting until, you know, post-launch to be able to get there.
And is that a real common error that app producers make?
Lack of marketing? Absolutely.
The kind of like going, we've created it, almost like the field of dreams scenario, isn't it? Where if we build it, they will come, rather than actually let's spread the word.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's something that it's the biggest problem that most face, I would say. The problem really isn't coming down with a great app. It really comes down to be able to get it out there, because we have people that approach us and want to work with us from our agency standpoint that literally spent $1 million on their app. $1 million, spent over 3 years developing it. And, you know, they come to us and the app was launched, and it's been available for, let's say, a few months. And the app has like zero downloads, zero traction. And they're like, what do we do now? We thought, you know, people were just going to naturally find it. And, you know, because we spent all this time and money on it, we just expected it to just, you know, be a breakout success. But it just simply isn't the case, because, you know, what good is spending $1 million in a few years on an app if you launch it and get zero downloads, right? There's no value in that. And that's why marketing is the lifeblood of any business now. Marketing is the lifeblood of any successful app, because you need to continually get yourself out there. Again, with over 15,000 new apps introduced every single week and over 2 million apps already available, it's very easy for your app just to get lost in the sea of existing apps in the marketplace. And so that's why, marketing is, you know, the most critical component to be able to actually achieve the results that you're looking to achieve, and incorporating the right strategies and techniques that are needed to be able to separate your app from others in the marketplace.
Wow, brilliant. Okay, so if we can go through the rest of them, and then we'll sort of pick one to go in a little bit deeper.
Beautiful. Yeah, so pillar number four is all about having the right team. You know, $1 million app begins with $1 million team. And so, you know, although we typically look up to the founders and CEOs of business, there would be no Snapchat without Bobby Murphy. There would be no Uber without Garrett Camp. There would be no Apple without Steve Wozniak. And so it really comes down to really understanding that you can't do it alone. And you shouldn't have to. It's about building a successful app or business in general comes down to having the right team in place to be able to support you and leverage the right characteristics that are required to be able to become successful. You know, you can't 10x your business with a 1x team. And so really comes down to really building that $1 million team. And in this chapter, we kind of go through the ideal kind of team DNA, which is really comprised of kind of three major players or three characteristics, if you may. The first one is the hustler. The hustler is the visionary. Primary focuses on the what and the why of the business. You know, what is the plan? What is the next steps? What is the end goal? What are we looking to achieve? The hustler is really that one that builds relationships, that's the visionary. Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg, whether they want to admit or not, they're all hustlers. Their role of the hustler is literally to interpret a world that others don't really even know exists yet and bring that into, you know, fruition. Where the second character is the product manager. This is the person that actually executes. This is the person that actually does the work and focuses on areas of how and the who. So for example, you know, the product managers would be the ones that are actually doing the work and involved. You know, Steve Jobs, as Mark Zuckerberg, they didn't really build the product. They were the visionaries that guided, the motions forward to be able to create the team and to be able to have them execute. The third is really that growth hacker. Growth hacker is all about marketing. It's all about understanding how to be able to get traction and to be able to incorporate the right strategies that are testable, measurable, and scalable, and to be able to reach those goals. And so it's all about being able to understand, you know, where are these, you know, downloads or users coming from, and where can we, you know, accelerate growth and focus on all those different growth metrics, whether it's sales or marketing, and to be able to build up that operation. And so those are kind of the three major areas that we, you know, advise and characteristics to be able to have that successful team in place.
Okay. 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 So pillar number five.
Pillar number five is all about virality, retention, and app addiction. It's about building a product that can have what we call viral growth engines to be able to have that app, you know, grow on its own, to be able to have that what we call viral funnel, so that, you know, the more people that are utilizing the product, the more it's going to be shared and growing organically. You know, in truth, growth is not really achieved through a specific hack or a quick trick. App developers who resort on such gimmicks, you know, typically have not really built the right type of product. You know, viral products generate exponential growth because they leverage each acquired user and builds off a self-sustaining system to acquire new users. And the key is to really give your users a really compelling reason to share the app with others through different, you know, mechanisms. But, you know, I don't believe that apps go viral by accident. Virality is strategically engineered. You know, how did Pokemon Go reach over 550 million downloads in less than a year? How did Snapchat get mass adoption in such a short period of time? There are certain mechanisms in place within the app that are, you know, able to attribute to that type of growth and success.
Okay. Okay. Pillar number six?
Yes.
No, five. Sorry. I think, are we on five?
Pillar number six, yes. Pillar number six, is really all about money mastery. You know, the unfortunate truth is that about more than 85% of apps on the marketplace are what we call hobby apps. They do not have a sustainable business model. And so one thing that we encourage, you know, those that are looking to go into the app industry is, you know, are you doing this for a business or just as a hobby? Something just, you know, you want to throw out there and that you're working on. Maybe like a, similar to what people do for like a painting, right? They want to just create something and get some value out there. But, you know, these app creators aren't really in the business mindset. They're solely in the development mindset. And that is also why, ironically, the same percentage of apps fail, you know, within the first year. The reason they fail is they don't earn enough revenue to sustain the cost to actually market them. And the apps end up, you know, with minimal downloads and draining both time and money. And so if you don't have people who are using the app every single day and are willing to pay for you for the value you provide, then what good is your, you know, development? What good is that $1 million that you spent or maybe a few years that you spent on building this app out if you can't actually sustain and grow it? And so it's all about really understanding money mastery and the different unique strategies that some of the most successful apps in the market incorporate. We have something we call our 10X revenue model to be able to look at different ways and steps to really exponentially grow revenue through, you know, incorporating the same strategies that a lot of these billion-dollar apps incorporate.
Okay. 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 And the final one, number seven.
Yes. The final one is about measuring success because you can't improve, you don't track. So it's all about really continuing to optimize because in today's market, if you don't optimize, you become irrelevant. And so it's all about understanding your key performing metrics and to continue to provide, you know, different strategies to be able to improve those. And so in this chapter, we go over the five key metrics to be able to track and grow the app. And we always highly encourage, you know, testing, you know, don't be lazy, test like crazy, is something we always share. And it's really important to be able to, you know, leverage different unique techniques to be able to continually improve and monitor where you're at and get you closer to where you need to be. And so it's all about really measuring success as you kind of begin to grow and launch your app.
Wow. Okay. They're almost life lessons as well.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. A lot of these different techniques can be applied to not only the app business, but, you know, in any business.
Absolutely. So it's so if someone was creating an app for their brand, is that a different, would they base it on the same pillars or is there any changes on sort of a person, like for example, I'm a coach. So if I was creating an app as a coach, is there a strategy for someone who wants to create an app like, I don't know, you mentioned one before, the B&B, Airbnb or something like that. Is there a different strategy or can you use exactly the same strategy for it?
So yeah, there are certain fundamentals that are required. And then you can spin off after you have those fundamentals, then, you know, you're going to be more unique per different category and type of app. But yes, there are fundamentals that that are required. And those are the ones that we kind of mention in the book, the seven pillars. Those are really the fundamentals. So we kind of drill deeper into, you know, all those components that are required to be able to, you know, achieve the results that you're looking to achieve.
Hey guys, so just before we jump over to the second part of the show, I wanted to let you know that the closed group Success IQ Alliance is now open to anyone who wants to be part of the community. I'm really excited to do this because I really want to meet more people to get a community growing of like-minded people looking at creating the exceptional life. So all you need to do is search on Facebook for Success IQ Alliance, and I look forward to seeing you there. Take care.
Okay, so what we will do now is we will go to the second part of the show. This is where I get an opportunity to put you on the hot seat, so to speak, and ask you a set of questions. So are you ready, sir?
Let's do it.
Okay, question number one. On average, how much time a week do you dedicate to self-development? That's body, mind, and spirit.
I spend a lot. Over the years, I've continued to invest more and more time. From a week standpoint, I would say at least at a minimum, I spend about an hour a day on personal development. An hour a day, ranging from books to podcasts to audiobooks to mentorship and all the above, to be able to help in different areas of my life. Whether it's business or mindset, psychological, different components, to be able to continue to look at my life and business in a unique perspective and continue to improve upon that.
Okay. What's one of your favorite podcasts?
Ooh, favorite podcast.
I'm not asking.
Other than
this
obviously
isn't a trick.
Success IQ.
This obviously, that's not a trick, honestly.
Yeah. So I listen to a ton of podcasts. I mean, you have a fantastic podcast with a lot of great guests to be able to provide a lot of value. When it comes to mindset and personal development, one I love is called Mind Your Business with James Wedmore. It's less about business, but really more about personal development and mindset and how, Tony Robbins always emphasized that success is really 80% psychological and 20% the mechanics. And I truly do believe that. The podcasts that I do listen to are really less business centric and more kind of mindset centric.
Yeah, because a lot of the time that's what, realistically, that's where it starts. It's either going to move you forward or hold you back.
Exactly.
And it starts with the head. So, and as, unfortunately, it's the hardest place to work. But, that's where it makes the best impact as well.
Exactly.
Okay, question number two is, what book has made the biggest impact to your self-development or personal growth, and why?
I read a ton of books. My goal for the new year, actually, is to read a book a week, is what I want to start going into. Right now, about 2 books a month, so I read a ton. I just really love that process. And what sparked that was actually creating my own book. So before creating my own book, I read a ton and research and all that components, and then started accelerating that. But one book that comes to mind is going to be The One Thing with Gary Keller, which is just a fantastic book about really prioritizing and focusing your attention on really what matters. To yourself, to your business, and other aspects of your life. And so I think their slogan is really the surprising simple truth behind extraordinary results. So I definitely highly recommend those if you haven't read it already.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Question number three, what app makes the biggest impact to your business or life?
Ooh, good one. I'm in the app space, right? And so we get pitched like 15 times a day of different types of apps. And so the first, in terms of business though, and the ones that I do use on the most regular basis, would be actually an app called Fantastical. Fantastical is a calendar app that I really enjoy using and probably open it probably 30 times a day just because it's my go-to calendar app, and it allows me to be able to stay productive and organized. And it has reminders and the such. Going back to personal development, one other great app is actually the Tony Robbins Breakthrough app, which has a lot of free courses and such in that. And so it's pretty helpful.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Okay, number four, what's your biggest business mistake and what did it teach you?
Biggest mistake. So, in business, I truly believe there's no such thing as failure, because you're able to understand what didn't work, and to be able to learn from that mistake. If you learn from it, it's a success. Throughout business, I failed more than most people can imagine. Again, I've had multiple different companies right now. I have 3 different companies and they're all very, very successful. And so I always look at challenges in a unique perspective in terms of what can we learn from this. And this is actually a huge breakthrough for us, because we needed this mistake or business issue to occur for us to really grow past it and ensure, you know, we don't make the same mistake in the future. You know, when it comes to myself personally, I would say one of the biggest mistakes I made was not bringing on consultants and coaches earlier. It wasn't until we've been in business for the last 8 years now, and we are the best in the industry what we do. But, you know, it's been a slow growth in the sense that, you know, early on, I just tried to figure out, you know, all on our own, how to be able to grow a successful business to be able to really support our clients and those that are in this space. But it wasn't until I brought on consultants and experts to be able to guide me that we really began to accelerate that. And so, you know, as we mentioned before, success leaves clues. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. All we need to do is do what works. And the only way to do that is working with the experts to be able to, you know, help guide you there. And so I would say the biggest business mistake was not bringing on, you know, consultants and agencies earlier on to be able to help us grow.
That's brilliant. Okay. Question number five, what are the challenges in harmonizing work and life and how do you manage them?
Well, when it comes to entrepreneurship and being, you know, either the CEO or the owner of a business, there are lots of different challenges. And I really don't believe there's any such thing as a balanced, you know, work life, or they call, you know, there's no balance because as a CEO, you're always going to be thinking about, you know, growing the business or other aspects. You know, when you're on a date or when you're watching a movie, sure, you can kind of focus and be more present, but you still have that kind of underlying thing in the background. What it's all about is really work-life integration. It's not really a balance in the sense that one's 50, one's 50%, and they're going to weigh each other out. It's all about integration. It's about, you know, being with, you know, it's your significant other and having them understand, you know, where you are in life and how, you know, you're in a unique position to be able to make your dreams reality. But a lot of it, you know, might bleed into other aspects of your life. But the biggest thing is, and going back to that actually book, the one thing is really understanding, you know, where are you putting your attention and focus on, whether it's through fitness, relationships, business, other aspects of your life, and really making those a priority. And so that's something that I really focus on a lot is being able to try and be more present, you know, when I'm on vacation or when I'm out on a date or whatever that looks like, to actually be focused and present on the moment. And that allows you to be able to be more authentic and really enjoy life a lot more and not have to think about other things when you're really should be focusing on, you know, whatever you have at that moment. Being more present is really, really, you know, key. But it all comes down to, you know, prioritization and being able to block out, you know, certain aspects of your life so that you can actually be focused on what truly matters most.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. Okay, question number six is, what advice would you give an entrepreneur that you wish you had known starting out?
What I would kind of trip going back to the previous one component would actually be, I would highly advise, you know, modeling the success of others. Again, you don't really need to reinvent the wheel. You don't need to try and figure out all on your own. I just model what works. And ideally, connect with these entrepreneurs directly if you can. Otherwise, you know, read their books, you know, listen to their videos or their speeches, and to be able to model after them and figure out what they did to be able to achieve the type of success you're looking to achieve and just do that. And then work with the experts to be able to guide you and coach you to get you to where you need to be a lot faster, because you'll find that if you have guidance, if you're working with the best people, you're going to be able to get to your results, you know, twice as fast and half the cost. Then you know, you're trying to do it all on your own.
Yeah, stubbornness and wanting to do it on your own is not the best strategy right. at all. Okay, question number seven is, what is your definition of success?
My definition of success is really being able to achieve what I'm setting out to achieve. And what I mean by that specifically is, again, visualizing what I want and then actually turning it into reality, whether that's through my business goals or whether that's through my personal fitness and well-being or relationship, to be able to really focus on, you know, what I'm looking to achieve, let's say over the next year, and being able to make that happen. And again, really enjoying the journey and not really the end result in the process. And so again, I would define success as being able to turn, you know, your dreams and goals into a reality and really enjoying the process along the way.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Question number 8 is, do you have any daily routines or rituals that make a huge impact to your day?
I do, actually. So one huge beneficial ritual that I do every single day is every single morning, and I'm not sure I've ever shared this with anyone, but every single morning, I write down a piece of paper, and for 3 minutes, I have my 3 minutes of gratitude. So I actually set a timer, and I write down all the different things in my reality in that time that I'm grateful for. It can be as little as, you know, just grateful for, you know, the clothes that I'm wearing, how good this coffee is. It can be as small to as large gratitude as possible. And the reason behind that, why I start the day that way, is because you can't be anxious or angry and joyful at the same time. So there's like a difference between each other. So even if you start off your day, you know, angry, frustrated, if you were to work on a gratitude list, it'll change your perspective and it'll change, you know, how you feel and what you focus on. And so the first 3 minutes is gratitude. The other 3 minutes is on goals of things that I'm looking forward to, things I'm looking to achieve, that are goals that are specific to what I can control. So things like, you know, I wouldn't say, oh, you know, tomorrow is going to be, you know, a very sunny and warm day when I have no control over that. And so it's things like, oh, well, I can't wait to do X, Y, and Z because I have full control in that outcome and being able to do that. And so those are the two rituals that I do every single morning without a doubt.
Okay. And how long have you been doing them, Sean?
Good question. Looking now, I would say probably about 4 years now. So quite a bit of time.
Okay. Yeah. It's amazing how powerful that exercise is. I think so many people underestimate the power of that exercise because they just think, well, it's, you know, it's just thinking about what I'm grateful for. But like you say, it really does change your mindset.
Yeah, if just you've being able to put pen to paper, you know, because we obviously think sometimes, oh, this is great or this is lovely. But being able to actually put down the time and being able to put all these ideas on paper and just something about writing it down and thinking about and actually putting yourself there. That's another thing that I highly recommend for those that do this exercise is not only, you know, write it down and think about it, but actually put yourself into that that gratitude. For example, let's say you're grateful for, you know, a vacation that you took, you know, a week ago. Actually put yourself back to that state, you know, feeling the sand, you know, between your toes or going in snorkeling, whatever it looks like. You actually feel that experience. And when you do that, you actually go back to that really joyful place. And so it's really kind of taking that gratitude to the next level when you can actually feel that emotional state of gratitude and going into that space.
No, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Okay, so the floor is now yours for you to share how people can find out more about you, where they can get hold of this book, you know, App Secrets. Please share with your wisdom as you have done today and let people know how they can get hold of all this great information.
Yes, you can get a copy of the book on Amazon. It's about $24, $25 on Amazon. However, for those that are listening, I will be happy to actually buy the book for you. Just pay for shipping. And so what we'll do is we'll add a link to the show notes and the link will be seancasto.com/successIQ. When you go to that page, you'll be able to just enter your name, email, and then you'll go to another page, which will add your shipping address details. And we'll go ahead and ship you a free copy of the book, App Secrets, How to Create a $1 Million App. I think you'll be able to get a lot of value from that.
Brilliant. Sean, thank you very much for joining me on the show. And I wish you the greatest success.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. Have a great day.
So firstly, just let me say a massive thank you to all of you who've taken the time to listen to the show. And for those of you who are sending me emails to give me feedback about the show, what you like, what you'd like to see, I am extremely grateful to you all. I would be really grateful as well if you have time and the inclination to jump over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show, as it really does help me stay on my mission, which is to help people create and live an exceptional life. Finally, you can get hold of these podcast show on many different platforms: iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, all of those ones that you probably listen to regularly. All you need to do is hit subscribe and get them straight to your phone, which makes life so much easier. So just finally wishing you an amazing week. Take care.
And don't forget to keep pursuing the exceptional.